Good morning. Can I have everybody stand up? Welcome to church. Welcome to church, all the campuses. God bless you. I am so excited about today. Got my fast shoes on. I'm ready to go. How many of y'all want to be challenged? Very good. We're going to get in your business today, but I want to pray because I want to get you ready for what God's going to do. A couple things before we start. February 23rd, 1, 2, 3, 4 Sundays from today, we are going to celebrate 25 years. Come on, church. We are going to have the Katinas here. They've been with me for 20-some years. We're going to blow this up. And by the way, on that day, we are going to start our third service. All the campuses, we're going to go to 3 services. Amen. Come on. At the end of this service, you're going to be given a survey of what service you want to go to. But here's the thing. For all of you who, well, you guys won't go to a late service, so I'm not even going to ask you, because anyway. That service is going to mark 25 years, a quarter of a century. I'm going to get emotional. 2 weeks after that, we are going to start a series to teach you how to share your faith. And there's one thing about this church is that we share the gospel. And so 2 weeks after that, we're going to teach you how to share your faith, and we want all of you, and I believe 100% that every Christian should be talking about Jesus. Amen. Just like if you get married, you talk about your wife, your husband. And if you don't, there's something wrong. Uh-oh. So if we're not talking about our Lord, something's wrong. So 2 weeks later, March 9th, we're going to start. But here's what happened. All of you need a gospel partner, because in the training, you're going to download it to your phone. We're going to do it in small groups. We're going to do it on Sunday. You have to practice with somebody. So I want to encourage you to text Next Steps to 52525. And it says just one. We want you to tell us who your gospel partner is. Mine is my wife. It could be your spouse. It could be a boo thing. It could be your child. It could be a friend. Don't matter. But somebody that you're going to go through with so you have accountability and that we're going to learn this. Can I get amen? Amen. So I'm going to challenge you to go to that. Amen. Okay. And by the way, if you are a coach of any kind of athletic coach or any kind of coach of young people, put coach next to your first name. We want to do something special with the coaches. Amen? I know it's a lot. There's a lot of information today. Everyone say gospel partner. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness, and I pray you rock our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five and a hug, and take a seat. Amen. Yeah, time. Turn to 1 Timothy 4:8. We have a special guest I'm going to introduce here in a minute, but I want to set it up. In Matthew chapter 25, you don't need to go there, there's a very short story about a couple of guys, 3 people, who were given money to manage or steward. One guy doubled the money, and God said, his master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful in little, I'm going to give you more. The second guy doubled his money. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in little, I'm going to give you more. The third guy buried the money in the ground, and when his master came back, he just gave him back what he'd given him. And he punished that man. And the illustration and the purpose of the parable was that God gives us things to steward or manage. He's given you your breath to manage. What are you doing with your talents? How are you stewarding, managing your opportunity to be alive in America? How are you stewarding your opportunity to be in this church? And so today we're going to talk about stewarding your body. This does not belong to you. It's not yours. I'm going to read some verses to you, but you need to understand that God is going to hold us accountable to how we steward this. And today we're going to talk about challenging you to change your diet, change your exercise routine for those who don't have one. You're finishing the fast, theoretically, for all you who fasted. Let's not go back to what we were 21 days ago. Amen. We talked about changing our mind. We talked about changing our perspective. We talked about changing our relationship with God. Now we got to change our diet and your exercise and how you steward this body, because this does not belong to you. Let me read a few verses, and I'm going to bring our guest down. 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profits little compared to spiritual, but godliness profits all things, having a promise of life that is now and is that which is to come. Bodily exercise does profit. Your most productive years of your life are going to be between 60 and 70. So if you're not 60 yet, you haven't even reached your peak yet. I'm 65 next month. So I'm right in the middle of that. Your second most productive years of your life are 70 to 80. And your third most productive years are 50 to 60. So all you youngins who are 30, 40, 50, you're just getting started. Now here's the thing, is that if you're dead, it does you no good. If you're walking around like this, at 60 years old, it does you no good. So you gotta take care of this so you can even get there and actually do the stuff you can do. So 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. For you were bought at a price, Jesus died on the cross by you, to pay for your sin. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. This is not yours. You are in his stewardship. And if you don't take care of it, what does it say? He'll take you. I'm not going to say he's going to take you out, but let me tell you something. If you don't take care of it, you will die early and you will live a more miserable life. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Ooh! And then it says, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You are. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. One of the many reasons I work out, one of the many reasons I stay in shape is for you. If I get up here all, I'm saying, hey, be disciplined. No. Let's go. We got to go. Can I get amen? You're going to be go. So here I'm going to invite somebody up here. This guy is in my small group. He's one of my closest friends. He's a trainer, but let me give you the formal deal. Todd Durkin is the founder and co-founder of Fitness Quest, a world-class gym in San Diego, the place I go to talk trash. I tell you about it all the time. That has changed lives over 25 years. He started that the same year we started the church. He's a two-time professional trainer of the year, recipient of the Jack LaLanne Award for Lifetime Achievement, international presenter, great guy, loud, trained LaDainian Tomlinson, Reggie Bush, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Darren Sproles, all those guys, Jordan Love. Let's all stand up and give a warm rock welcome to Todd Durkin! Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go! Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
You may be seated. Woo. I always tell you, I go to this gym, and as soon as you walk in the door, you start yelling because that's it. You just saw it right there. He's screaming loud. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Good, good. I'm so happy to have you and ask you some questions and to challenge you. Here's the bottom line I want you to get out of this. I want you to leave here today saying, I'm changing my life. I'm going to eat better, and I'm going to exercise. We're going to give you a lot of information. Just take one thing. Do not go back to what you were before. I'm changing my diet. I eat clean. My wife feeds me clean. I exercise. I'm taking all that to another level because God deserves it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Tell us how you got into this your business of physical training.
Fitness. Well, I grew up an athlete, and growing up as a football player, I always dreamt of being a quarterback in the NFL. So growing up in New Jersey, went to school in Virginia at William & Mary. After William & Mary, I went overseas to play in Europe, played professionally in Europe, and it was there that I had a devastating back injury, three herniated discs, spinal stenosis, degenerative back disease, left me motionless on a football field in France. And that journey got me into fitness. That pain became my purpose, and that was in the mid-90s. I went on this five-year healing pattern and then got into fitness. And that was, from there, what I learned was, in training people the last 25 years, I wanted to be the NFL quarterback. And for the last 25 years, I've been working with the NFL quarterback.
Amen, amen. Tell us about, you wrote a book, Impact, Body Plan, and True Strength. Mm. Tell us about that.
When I was in the eighth grade, my father taught me how to write in a way that someday I had a dream to write a book. I didn't know how that would ever happen. You know, in 2010, it was a different era. When you're writing a book in 2010, it was all traditional publishing. And I got turned down, Pastor Miles, probably 10 times from publishers until Drew Brees won his Super Bowl. Then all of a sudden, Drew wins the Super Bowl, and then they're approaching me, hey, would you write a book? And I wrote the Impact Body Plan.
Because you guys were together, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And they said, hey, would you write a 10-week transformation program on body and mind? And I did that. Interesting enough, short story, 6 weeks before the Impact Body Plan came out, just prior to the NFL season, I walked into the office in New York, and as I walk in, we're 6 weeks away from launching the Impact Body Plan. I didn't have a name then. No one knew who I was, so I'm really excited. And I walk in, and these three guys in three-piece suits are like, hey, we decided to change the name of your book. And all over this place was this new title of my book. I'm like, that's not my book. They said, sorry, if you want this to get printed and go through, we're changing the name of your book. I said, no, peace, I'm out. I'm not publishing it. They said, what are you talking about? You wrote the book. I said, yeah, it's called The Impact Body Plan because impact is all about legacy, and my program is called Impact. I literally flew home dejected back to San Diego. Still remember sitting on that plane thinking, I just spent months writing this book, and now all of a sudden my dream to write a book was over. Well, 6 weeks later, the Impact Body Plan came out because when I thought about it and prayed about it, I said, God, this is my work. I'm willing to walk from it. And I walked, and 6 weeks later, the Impact Body Plan came out. What was all over the mirror? That book wasn't ready yet.
Then True Strength came.
True Strength came. True Strength came just last year in 2024. Interesting enough, the name that was all over that publishing company was True Strength. I didn't know it in 2010 that it would be called True Strength someday because in my mind, as a coach and a trainer, I didn't know True Strength yet. You know, I went through a divorce. My parents got divorced when I was young. So growing up the youngest of eight kids, I knew some pain, but I didn't know the pain that I had suffered through the pandemic. And when I wrote True Strength, it's kind of interesting from a God perspective of 14 years later after Impact Body Plan came, True Strength came. And the reason that came was because during the pandemic, like everyone has a story, I suffered physically through the pandemic. I told the fitness world, the training world, get on my back, get on my back, get on my back. Well, months after saying get on my back, which got me into fitness, now all of a sudden took me out. I had my second knee replacement. My second knee replacement, 6 weeks after that, my back goes out, and I go and get my x-ray. I don't know if you ever had an x-ray, and the guy goes behind the x-ray machine, and all of a sudden I heard some words that I probably shouldn't have heard. He said, oh my, we got a problem. I said, what's up? I go back there and I look at my x-ray and you'll see it. The x-ray came up and that was my back. That's my back. Here I am trying to change the world and my back.
By the way, just so you know, that's supposed to be straight.
I said, this is impossible. I just had a knee surgery. Now my back, which 25 years ago got me into fitness, now it's taking me out of my game. I'm in tremendous pain. I can't work out. I work out most days of the week, and all of a sudden, I'm taken out. I'm not sleeping. I can't sleep on my back. I can't sleep on my right side. I can't sleep on my stomach. I'm not sleeping. I'm in pain, physically in pain. I'm trying to figure out how to help the fitness industry. And I went through a year in 2021 that, well, when you see, I got x-rays and CT scans, and all of a sudden, that's the CT scan that you see up there. And then I got an MRI, which the doctor said when he saw the MRI right there, he said, sir, did you serve in Afghanistan? I said, I wish I could say I did, but no, I have not. He said, there's supposed to be space. Your discs are all crunched. Everything is ragged. He goes, you need massive surgery. As a matter of fact, I can't help you. You need to see a back deformity specialist.
And I'm going to tell you two things about this because I want to get to this plan. We prayed for him 4 years ago, and he hasn't had pain since and has not had surgery. Amen? The Lord did that. Amen?
True.
And one of the reasons you need to know that, I was going to bring a picture of my neck, but that's a whole other thing, because my neck is curved the wrong way as well. If you may have an excuse why you don't want to work out. So we just wanted to get rid of that off the table. Even if you're in a wheelchair, there's something you can do. And so I want all of y'all, because I'm going to rapid fire go through this list for y'all, but this temple is either going to take care of you or you're going to end up having to take care of it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you're 20, 30 years old, you're eating all this garbage, it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah.
with you. And so I hope that you take the next few minutes seriously. I'm going to go through this rapid fire things that you could do health-wise, working out-wise, and then diet. Amen? Amen. So if you want to take pictures of what's going to be on the screen, because we're going to go through this, because I'm going to make sure we can get all this in before the end of the service. Number one, what's the heaviest weight in the gym?
Front door,
heaviest weight in the gym.
Get to the gym. Okay.
What's one excuse? I gotta get in shape.
I'm tired. I'm in pain.
Okay. Right. I gotta get in shape before I go to the gym. Can you comment on that?
I hear that all the time. Well, I'm gonna train before I come to the gym so I can get in shape to go to the gym. I'm like, no. Show up in the gym. There's a wonderful community at your local gym, in your community. Go to the gym. Seek out a coach. Everyone needs a coach in some way, in shape, form, or other. You need a coach. And
how many of y'all are physical trainers in here? Okay, raise your hand really high. Raise your hand really, just wave.
Yeah.
If you need a coach, there's a few here. Now, I can't vouch for any of these people. Okay, so if you go to them and they're all jacked up, that's on you. Well, you need to do a thorough vetting process. And here's a couple things you ask them. Do you love Jesus? Mm. Give me a referral. But you need a coach. Go get a coach. And when I go to his place, they're yelling, they're screaming. It's like, cheers, they all know my name. So it's pretty cool. Okay, let's go through this list. Yep. Motion is lotion. Movement is medicine.
I've said that for a long time, but when you're in pain or you don't feel like doing it, even a 10-15 minute walk to start is great for your body, it's great for your joints. Whether you have replacements, whether you have a bad back, get out there and move your body, because all of the synovial fluid in your joints is gonna loosen up. It's gonna make you feel better physically as well as mentally. That's gonna get your mind right. I talk about get your mind all the time, but motion is lotion, movement is medicine.
Synovial fluid is the lubrication in your joints. And so if you do not move your fingers, your elbows, your joints, your legs, your hips, it's gonna stiffen up. So walking, doing something is gonna lubricate your body. You see people walk around like this, they haven't done something in a long time. And maybe they got other things wrong with them. But the more you work out.
Hey, if you're 91 years old, work out. I just got back from Florida seeing my mom, 91. I'm like, Mom, get up. We're working out. She's trying to like, get up, Mom. Let's go. It's like, doesn't matter your age.
Okay, prepare to train.
Prepare to train means tonight, lay out your clothes. Get ready. Put your shoes down. Put your hoodie on. Get ready to train so there's no excuses. You're going to wake up in the morning like, man, it's cold out. It's raining out. I don't feel like working out. All that stuff is going to be there. So the more you prepare, the better. Listen to a podcast when you go train. Listen to a sermon, whatever you like to listen to, because that's going to help you get your mind right as you're training. But prepare as if it's game time. Every day you got to go out and do something.
And you could call it training if all you're going to do is walk around Absolutely. Your kitchen 20 times. That's training. Just you don't have to have a trainer and a gym and you know all the gear. Just do it. Number two, walk, jog, cardio 3 days a week.
Aerobic work, your heart. My father passed away at age 58 of a heart attack. So when I got into this world, I was like, I gotta make sure that I protect my heart. Now, in someone who coaches and trains, aerobic work, cardiovascular, I can do more cardio. I would say more cardio, less lardio. More cardio, less lardio. You wanna lose some fat, do some more cardio, at least 20 minutes a day. Again, a brisk walk, jog, get on the elliptical, do something for your heart. 3 times a week minimum, 20 plus minutes is really gonna do benefits. Physiologically for your heart, but also, again, psychologically.
Your heart is bored. Some of y'all's hearts are bored. They're like, they ain't using me. Your heart is a muscle. This is a muscle. If you exercise your heart, it actually gets bigger. It gets stronger. My heart rate is about 52, resting heart rate, and I was getting some medicine. I had to take a heart scan. I had something going on. They had to shoot some dye in my veins to slow my heart down. I said, hold on. I don't want that dye. What rate do you want me to get it to? And they said, well, can you get it down? I said, I'll get it to 52. And I just, because me and my heart are like that. Okay? So, and it got down to 52. They did the scan. I had to put the medicine in my body. Work out your heart. Okay, calisthenics and strength work.
Calisthenics is simply your body weight. Most of us have enough body weight to do a great exercise program, whether it be squats, push-ups, planks, lunges, bench dips. We don't need a lot of fancy equipment to get the job done. Again, it comes down to your commitment and your commitment to do something most days of the week. Here, at least 2 times a week of resistance training will help build the body, right? We talk about body transformation. Putting down some muscle is gonna be great for the metabolism, which we all wanna really boost your metabolism. It slows down as you get older. So twice a week, getting in there and getting some calisthenics or strength training in.
One of the biggest deterrents of cancer is muscle. The more muscle you have, the less chance you have cancer. I did my 100 push-ups today. Anybody do the 100 push-ups today? Let's go, let's go. Come on now, come on, I got you. I did my cold plunge today. Listen, I got up at 5 o'clock, and we'll get into that in a minute, but let's go, let's go. You could do it. Even if you're just doing air squats, and just keep doing air squats, your leg and your buttocks are the biggest muscles in your body. For real. my fast just took my butt away. It's gone. I'm sitting on bone right now.
I thought these were hard.
This is nice and soft. Protein shake within 1 hour.
Well, after you exercise and you deplete your body to have some protein, most of us don't get enough protein. I think 1 gram per pound of body weight is what I always shoot for. Advise all my clients and athletes, 1 gram per pound of body weight. So just, you know, do the calculation. Are you getting enough protein in? Whether that be through fish, chicken, protein shakes, eggs, you got to get protein, and that's going to build muscle.
Some of y'all are saying, man, that's a lot of information. That's right. Figure it out. Stop wasting your time on this. Gossiping about this, gossiping about that. This is your body. You don't want to end up in a hospital when you're 70 years old when you should be out there running marathons. This is real, real stuff. Okay, exercise is queen.
Nutrition is king.
Talk to me.
Listen, you can work out every day, but if you're eating like garbage, it ain't gonna matter. You'll feel better from the physical workout, but if you're not eating well most days of the week, then you're not gonna see the results that you want. Most people start an exercise program because they want to lose weight, they want to lose fat, they want to tone up their belly, their arms, their chest, their back, their legs, whatever it may be. But if you're not eating right, this is a Jack LaLanne quote, by the way.
Do the whole quote.
Exercise is queen and nutrition is king. I also have here, you can't out-train a bad diet. What are you eating? You've got to know what to eat. Six-pack abs are made in the kitchen.
That's right. Come on now.
Hey, listen,
how many of y'all got your six-pack from your fast? Anybody?
Nobody.
You gotta protect it. Don't put that fat back on top of it.
But the bottom line is, not everyone's gonna have six pack abs. But you do need to get your strength training in. You gotta make sure you eat right. Eating's the hardest part because you have 5 or 6 times a day where you mess up. We watch the ball games later on. It's easy to start out of habit. You start getting the chips and salsa. You start eating junk. Next thing you know, you feel like garbage, and then it's gonna sabotage your mind to not want to go work out. So it's habit and discipline to do what you're supposed to do, not what you want to do.
We're going to talk diet now. Number one, water.
Well, it's the big, water is something we all need more of. Most people are dehydrated. We're walking around in a dehydrated state. If you're walking around in a dehydrated state, you're not going to function optimally. I would say, hey, be the best version of yourself. Water, it's simple to drink water, but most people don't do it enough. I see people drinking water right now, but when you have half your body weight in fluid ounces of water, half your body weight in fluid ounces of water, that is what you shoot for. Now, if you drink any caffeine, you need even more water. So half your body weight in fluid ounces of water.
So if you weigh 200 pounds, you should drink 100 ounces of water. If you weigh 150 pounds, you should drink 75 ounces of water. And if you drink the water you're supposed to drink, you're going to be going to the bathroom all day. You're flushing yourself out. When you fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's gonna flow out of your life. Okay, so drink
your water.
Part
of your exercise program.
Drink your water. Healthy breakfast.
A healthy breakfast? What healthy breakfast is not, what it's not is, if you have cereal with a cartoon figure on the box, that's not a good breakfast. If you're pounding pancakes and French toast and all carbs, that's not a healthy breakfast. Sure, on an off day or a cheat day, you can do that, but what you really want is food that once had a life. When I say that, I had a mom or dad or a plant. Anything that is fruits and vegetables, fantastic breakfast. Some Greek yogurt, high in protein, a great breakfast, put some fruit in there as well. Or if you're doing the 21-day fast, even a smoothie where you're having some coconut milk or almond milk along with some fruit in there and some protein, that's a great breakfast.
I've said this before. You need to eat clean. And the definition of clean is no processed anything. You're gonna have your cheat days. But like I said, you go in the grocery store, I was talking to a gastroenterologist, a doctor that works on your digestive system yesterday. And we were talking about everything in the aisle of a grocery store unless it's a health food store, which ironic, you got to go to a health food store to get health food and not in a grocery store. Don't eat it. It's not good for you. If God didn't make it, it's not as good as what God made. That's a simple rule. If you just did that and you ate fresh food and you ate clean food and it's as organic as you can get, and even with stuff that says sugar-free, it's sugar in it. They're just saying it in a different name. I'm telling you the gospel truth. And sugar, that's the next one. Sugar is the devil. It's
that's
a point.
What I say.
Put it on. It's on the screen. Sugar is the devil.
Sugar is the devil.
Let me tell you, sugar is the
devil. I've been saying that. Sugar is the devil. Sugar will make you soft.
And by the way, white processed sugar we're talking about. We're not talking about the sweet stuff that's in an orange. But white processed sugar is absolutely poison for you. It kills people. They know it. And so don't just assume that because it's selling it to you, it's okay. It's addictive and it's no good for you.
Yeah, and anyone who's ever had cancer knows that to stay away from sugar. So don't wait to have cancer to stay away from sugar. Sugar will soften you. Mm-hmm. It'll soften your mind. It'll soften your body. So do your best to minimize sugar in your diet.
And your cancer will feed on the sugar, by the way.
100%.
My mother was in the hospital with cancer, and we didn't notice. And they said, just eat whatever. Can you have a candy bar? Go ahead. And that was absolutely the worst thing she could have done.
Yeah.
Rules of guidelines. Let's talk about guidelines. We're going to land this plane.
Rules. It's like anything. When you set some guardrails for yourself, only you can set your guardrails of how serious you want to take your own health. I always say he or she who has their health has 1,000 dreams. He or she who does not has one. When you lose your health, like I lost mine in 21, you got one dream. Get your health back. What I always say is get your health back now and your dreams, you'll have 1,000 dreams. So rules, what are the rules that you want to create for your life, let alone your physicality, your nutrition, your mentality? And when you do that and you live by them, you have the discipline to do that, you surround yourself with people who are going to lift you up and encourage you and hold you accountable to what you say you're going to do, you're more likely to do it. Those rules could be your morning routine. We talked about your morning routine. You were in a cold tub this morning. I was made sure I got my cardio in and strength training in before coming here. That's a rule. No phone first thing in the morning. Phones will just suck you dry of all the good stuff, and you're looking at everyone else's stuff versus taking care of yourself. Your evening routine. What's your evening routine look like? What time you go to sleep? How you take care of yourself? Are you in the Word in the morning and at night? Are you bookending your days with gospel and faith and the good music? All of these things matter, and those are all rules you can set for yourself.
Some of you may say, well, I'm not a morning person. I can't get up. Well, I would say two things to that. I'm a night person. But getting up at 10 o'clock in the morning is not an option. Mm. Getting up for me at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. If I got to get done when I got to get done, I get up at 5 o'clock. I set my alarm. Get over yourself. You're not an owl. You're a human. Jesus got up early before the sun and went out and prayed. And so you can be so spiritual that you let this rot. This is the temple. You would never do something, smoke a cigarette in this room because it's the church. But yet you go out there and do it. This is the temple. This is a building. You're the temple. Amen? So let me land this plane because I get your mind right. Say it. Get your mind right.
You got to have a lag. Get your mind right. Matter of fact, turn to the person next to you and say, get your mind right.
Get your mind right.
See, but what happens is when you say get your mind right, every single day, when you think about your life, get your mind right is a daily battle to win the battle between the ears. It's every day. It's not you read a book and you get your mind right. It's every day. It's how do you win the battle between your ears. It's no different than a world-class athlete, an entrepreneur, a mom or a dad, or some of the kids in here. Get your mind right. It's a daily thing, whether you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 91, or you're 12. Getting your mind right is something that you got to battle for every day with what you read, what you listen to, who you hang out with. That is all a mindset. And when you have the right mindset, you're going to be more likely to exercise, to get into the Word, and really have the discipline to do what you need to do to get to where you want to go.
One last one, we'll take this quick, is pain. Put that last point up there about pain. It says, work around your pain. You're going to, especially if you don't work out, especially if you're overweight, you are going to hurt. I hurt. If you're not getting to a point where you're uncomfortable, you're probably not working out. You're probably just going sightseeing. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you're going to walk around a block, you don't have to hurt. But you may get uncomfortable. That's fine, as long as you're not injured. Mm. And we talked last week, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, last week about your anterior mid-cingulate cortex. about when you do things you don't want to do, that part of your brain grows and it gives you the ability to be more disciplined. Mm. That's what this is about. You are going to have to be uncomfortable. But that's the only way you're going to learn anything. It's the only way you're going to grow anything is through resistance. And so what I want you to get out of all this is that you really rethink your life. Rethink this temple. Don't go back and eating that trash that you were eating before. I'm changing my diet. I had a great diet. I'm taking it to another level. And so because when you're 50, 60, 70, you want to be able to do what God calls you to do. You don't want to have God call you to do something and say, well, God, I got to go to the doctor again, and I got to go every day of the week, and I can't get up. I can only walk around for an hour, and then I got to go to sleep. You want to go like, let's go. Mm. I mean, Caleb and Joshua, 80 years old, he said, I'm going to take that mountain. He was 80 years old. Moses died at 120. He walked 120 years leading the Israelites. And so my encouragement to you, is that don't be so spiritually minded you forget all about this. You forget about this. And that especially you youngins out here, develop some good habits now. Stop eating that candy. Stop drinking that soda. Stop drinking that juice that's in the store. It's no good for you. Stop eating that processed food. Feed what God, take care of what God gave you with the food that he has given you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, church.
Let's go.
With that said, take your communion now. Let's pray. As we take communion, we are reminded of Jesus' body. It was sinless. His blood was pure. It was the only qualified sacrifice for our sin. He died as the perfect ransom for our sin. Lord, thank you that you kept your body sinless. Lord, I pray that everyone listening today would take some time today and think about their diet, think about their body, think about adding 5, 10, 15 healthy years to the time they can serve you. And as we take communion, we are reminded that you surrendered your body on the cross and you died for our sin and rose from the dead. And you said to take, eat. This is your body that was given for us. And that we should do this in remembrance of you. So what we are going to remember today is that you surrendered your body to the will of God. And I pray we would surrender our bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1 says. That we surrender our bodies as a living sacrifice, that you would guide and direct how we use our hands, how we use our eyes, how we use every part of our legs, our feet, every part of our body would be obedient to God, and that we would care for it and cherish it and respect it and honor it as a gift from God. And before we take communion, if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, we would like you to give you that opportunity so when you take communion, you are honoring him and you are not dishonoring a Savior that you rejected. So if you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising from the dead for me. I surrender my life to you. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. If you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up really high and I can see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. God bless all y'all. Lord, thank you. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. You may take the bread. I love that sound. Sounds like rain. Holy Spirit, we pray you rain on us. Pray you pour out the Spirit of God on all our lives. And Lord, as we take the juice which represents your blood, I just want to pray for people in here with back problems. As we prayed for Todd years ago and he never had pain, as a young man came up to me first during the worship, said that I prayed for his back years ago and he has no pain. So Lord, I pray for anybody here, anybody have back pain, just lift your hand up really high if you have back pain. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's like three quarters of y'all. Lord, I don't know what that back pain's about, but you do. And you are our healer. Jehovah Rapha, you heal. You're a provider, Jehovah Yireh, Jireh. Thank you. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for a supernatural healing of backs right now. That you would bring supernatural alignment to spinal cords and spines, spinal processes and all the different intricate parts of the cartilage, bulging disc, that you would bring kingdom of God alignment to these backs. And I pray even right now as we're sitting here, someone may have felt that their back was just healed. The pain just went away, eyes closed, heads bowed. If your back pain just went away, just lift your hand up real high and we're gonna pray and praise God for that. God bless you, God bless you, very good. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. When you go home today, all of you, I want you to ask God, God, did you heal my back? I want you to feel it, test it, because we believe this is true. So we take this juice to represent the pure, sinless blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us of our sin. And we pray that you would heal us spiritually and physically. In Jesus' name, amen.